Well, deliberations resumed in the Karen Reed murder trial, and joining us with some perspectives is Mark Stiles. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dan. Glad to be here. And as you know, I know, folks. I haven't been in a courtroom for 20-plus years, so when you asked me to come in and chat about this, I thought of none other than Liam Scully, South Shore criminal defense attorney, one of the all-time best Marshfield basketball players at Marshfield High School, played Division I, and is a competitor, and he is here to share experiences about what he does. He represents people who are charged with a crime, OUI, assault and battery, rape, and murder.
All right. Well, welcome, Liam. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Glad to be here.
So let me just ask, first of all, what are your overall thoughts on this trial and how has it played out? Is this a unique trial or is it pretty standard? What would you say?
I would say this is a very unique trial. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in Massachusetts. And it's setting a lot of precedents in its own way.
How so?
Well, just the controversies. I think what this has done is it's really pulled the curtain back on the criminal justice system, and all of the potential flaws that are out there in any case are now on display, and people are paying attention. And every case doesn't look like this. But there are elements of these issues that are in this case that come up time and time and time again, and general public just doesn't know it.
And what do you think are some of the big issues, in your opinion, that have come up in this trial that are worth noting?
Well, you start with the beginning. Why was this a murder charge? And is the prosecution overreaching? And I think that's what drew the massive public attention to this young woman when she was shown on TV charged with murder. And people said, could this be? Is this really a murder charge? Or is it more likely, if she did anything, an accidental type of situation? And then you lead into the investigation and how thorough and fair is any police investigation. You hope that they all are, but each one needs to be examined very, very carefully. And then I think you go from there into all of the different science that was brought into the case. And suddenly we're dealing with Apple Health software and whether or not that's good science in a courtroom or accident reconstruction. And all of these issues are emerging as how far can we let science get into our courtrooms.
Now, the jury's been out for a while. I don't know how much of a truism it is, but the saying is the longer the jury's out, the better that is for the defense. That's kind of the standard rule that most people think. Is there accuracy in that?
I think there's some accuracy in that, but, you know, having tried over 100 cases to jury verdicts during my 26-year career, I can tell you that the defense was looking for a defense verdict Friday afternoon. That is the time when reasonable doubt is at its strongest and most resonant with deliberating jurors. From a very practical standpoint, can we not agree? Do we all have to come back here on Monday? And without getting that verdict from the defense for defense on Friday afternoon, that sends a signal that people are dug in and not willing to compromise.
So do you think they're going to reach a verdict? Do you think we're going to be, we could be looking at a hung jury?
I think they'll probably reach a verdict. There's a number of charges. There's room to compromise. And statistically speaking, most juries reach verdicts. But this is a case that, you know, is outside the norm, so you never know.
Now, if they don't reach a verdict, if the jury comes back again, because they've come back once and said, we're not able to reach a verdict, what happens if they come back a second time?
Okay, that's a great question. So if they come back a second time, this happens all the time. Juries oftentimes give it kind of a short try, which they did in this case, and said, well, we couldn't reach a verdict. And it wasn't, legally speaking, we measure it against how many hours of testimony did the trial take, and expect deliberations to be commensurate with the number of hours of testimony. Not an exact measurement, but that's on the radar screen. So if they come back again, there's a specific jury instruction that the judge is likely to give them to send them back one more time to see if they can reach a deliberation and if they reach a verdict. And if they are not able to and come back yet again, it's likely a mistrial.
And do you think they'll try it again?
The prosecution, I normally does.
Okay.
So I would think that they would, and I would think that they would feel we have the advantage now, shifting to our favor because we saw the whole defense play out. We've got everybody's testimony now in written transcripts, and all the exhibits have come in. We see our own weaknesses, and I would think that the prosecution would feel more confident a second time, and I think the defense would think this was our best chance.
All righty. Well, we're just going to have to wrap it up there, unfortunately, and I'll be watching like everyone else for that verdict. So, Mr. Stiles, Mark Stiles of Stiles Law, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Liam, at scullyandlagos.com, scullyandlagos.com, in case you need them.
Thank you very much.